one of the reasons for starting late today is the extraordinary situation of snow in Yerushalayim. And there's a message here which we recite every morning in one of the Tehillim, chapter 147, which describes the unique quality of Yerushalayim. As it says, Shabuchi Yerushalayim Es Hashem, the famous verse.
Which Tehillim is that?
147. And if you return to, this is verse 12. Yet let Yerushalayim praise Hashem. And then describes verse 15. Well, we start with verse 14. He makes sure that your borders are an expression of peace. And if there's peace, he will satisfy you with the fatness of the wheat. That means you'll have plenty of food if there's peace. And then next verse says that he sends his word to the earth. It runs swiftly to fulfill his word. He gives snow like wool. This is perhaps the earliest reference to understanding the positive aspects of a snowfall. Because the truth is, it covers the earth like wool and keeps the earth warm, it shouldn't get frozen, which gives the ability for things to keep on growing under the surface of the earth. And he scatters the hoarfrost like ashes. There's an indication here that if you want to melt the frost, the best way to do it, to walk on frosty ground, is to spread ashes. Then he casts forth his ice like morsels. Sometimes there is hailstorm with like real stones, like it says, like morsels, the ice, like morsels, small morsels of ice cubes, yeah, bits. Who can stand before his cold? Very cold. He sends out his word and melts them. So what does Hashem do? There comes a time when the snow melts. What happens then? He causes the wind to blow, and all the snow is transformed to water. They run as water. Then declares his word to Yaakov, Magid Avraham Yaakov, his statutes and his judgment to Israel, which is not done to any other nation. Now the question is, how do we understand the juxtaposition of these verses? The weather description is exactly what's happening now. And well, there's some countries that are used to snow, so they prepare for it throughout the year. And it's nothing unique. But in Yerushalayim, everything stops. No, everything's closed. Schools are closed. Business is closed. Sometimes there's no electricity. Transport ceases, public transport. So how do you explain that straight after this it says Hashem has given Yaakov his Torah, his word, his statutes and judgments, Israel? What's the connection? So we can say the connection is, since people can't go and fulfill their business, the shop, most of the shops are also closed. So what can you do? you can come and learn Torah. Go into Beit HaMidrash, or even in your own home, and learn Torah. So this is the message for today. So learn some Torah. So I'm going to go more deeply into what we already discussed a few previous shiurim. In the first revelation to Moshe Rabbeinu, the third chapter of Shemois, which is introduced by the words that Moshe had been tending the sheep of his father-in-law Yisro, the priest of Midian. He led the sheep along the pasture land, and he came to Ha HaElokim Choreva, the mountain of God, to Choreb. Now, this raises quite a few questions. I mean, some say it's called here the mountain of God, Choreb, because what happened afterwards? But the indication, the way it's put, it was already known before. The question is how. So some of the Midrashim and commentators go into things more deeply, they say like this. Which is the real mountain of Hashem? Which is the first one that's mentioned, the Chumash? Which one? A place that's become, these days, the center of religions. Which place is that? The Temple Mount. So the Temple Mount is mentioned first in the Chumash. It's mentioned in connection with the pinnacle of tests given to Avraham and his son Yitzchak, the mountain Moriah. And there it says explicitly, Har Hashem, Yerayeh, this is the mountain of God. That's the mountain of God. And the sages go more deeply. They say on that mountain, Adam HaRishon offered his offering, Noah offered his offering. And we even see that Malkit Tzedek, Melech Shalem, that the Shem, the son of Noach, that was his major center of continuing to teach the Noachite code. And he was called a priest. Who Kohen Le'el Elyon is a priest to God, to the uppermost God, to teach all the nations the Noachite code. So this was the mountain, as it's referred to in Bereishis. So, why is it here described, the mountain in the desert, it's called Choreb? Also, why it's called Choreb? Well, Choreb means drought. It also means destruction, Churban. It means the sword. So we have to explain this as follows, if we go more deeply. Mentioned in Midrashim, in the Zohar. And especially developed by Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, develops this, one of the great saints of 500 years ago, develops this whole concept, but from many sources. Now, Hashem, as even mentioned by the Rambam, he brought his Shekhinah, his closest divine presence, to the mountain Moriah, which is described in Bereishis. Moriah means for their teaching will go out to the world. And here there's already a type of premonition that ultimately there would be a special people who would be in a special land, and the central mountain of that land is in Shalem. And when Avraham Avinu reached the pinnacle of faith, the reason why it's called Yerushalayim, when it really is called Shalem, you know, also cities in America called Salem. Salem goes back to Shalem. But Hashem said, when he came to the mount, when Avraham Avinu fulfilled his mission, and Yitzchak was willing to give up his life in the service of Hashem, so he said, this is the place where Hashem appears, and also where human beings will have the ability to see Hashem. And this is the way in which Avraham Avinu added to Shem ben Noach. Shem ben Noach was intended to spread the universal code of Hashem. But the universal code of Hashem was not strong enough to change mankind and fulfill its purpose. So it was necessary to find someone who would walk in front of Hashem and expand the Torah to be a Torah of loving kindness and to be the progenitor of the people that would be Amlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, who would make a special covenant with him. Nevertheless, Hashem said, the purpose of all this is for mankind. And maybe the nations of the world will come in right away to bring about the ultimate situation when all the nations of the world will worship Hashem. Therefore, I'm not tying it to a specific place. I'm tying the giving of the Torah to a place that belongs to all peoples, which was the desert of Sinai. For the desert of Sinai, nobody could live there. It was a place which was a drought. You couldn't establish a national life there. And there's never been a national life established in the Sinaitic Peninsula, because it's too dry. It's drought. The heat of the sun. Desert. Sand. Because I want to open the Torah to all mankind, and especially to the seed of Abraham, who's supposed to be the teacher of all mankind. And in fact, he had a son and a grandson who could join in with the covenant of Abraham, which was Ishmael and Esau. So he said, right, I know I've now limited the priestly people to the seed of Abraham through Yitzchak and through Yaakov, excluding Ishmael and Esau, excluding Ammon and Moab, excluding all the other nations. But I'm given another chance. It's Sinai. That means at present, civilization is really fulfilling the first mention of these letters, Chorev. Chorev is also the same letter as Cherev, the sword. Where is the sword mentioned first in the Chumash? It says, when Adam and Eve were driven up out of Gan Eden, then it says, Hashem, he placed a constantly turning, flaming sword, La tacherev mitapechet, lishmor ederatzachim, to lead mankind to its true mission. So on one side they can look at the Kruvim, the place of the Shechina. They can come near to the ultimate redemption, which will bring enormous happiness and bring only peace and construction to the human race. And there's another way, which will come through constant wars, constant destruction. I think mankind can follow the Shechina, place of the Shechina, or they can follow the opposite. It all depends on how mankind is going to choose. So Hashem said, right, I found someone, Avraham, who's chosen the path of the Kruvim. He wants to come near the Shechina. So I revealed the Shechina to him on Har Moriah, because that is the place where the people who are the priestly nation are going to develop. But I'm giving another chance to all human beings. That's why I'm going to reveal the whole Torah to all the nations. They can all come part of it. And who's the most chance that can come part of it? Those who had some roots. They had some roots in the right path through the influence of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and through the influence of Shem. Yishkon Bol Hashem, to fulfill the initial prophecy given to Noah, Hashem's Shekhinah will be in the tents of Shem. And so, that's the significance, what it says, Moshe Rabbeinu, who had the ability, because of his high character and his enormous humility, to become the agent of Hashem, to spread the knowledge of Hashem in the world, to be a successor to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and even be a greater prophet than they were. So, Hashem led him to the place which is most desolate. We understand that the major civilization that came a bit near to building up empires were those that dwelt in the large three continents, which have the Middle Eastern point as their juncture, the central point, where a part of it was entirely fertile, the Fertile Crescent as it's called, and that explains the Bikat HaYarden, the Jordan Valley, which is fertile, and the northern part of it, which is extremely fertile, it used to be even more. Even the Dead Sea used to be also the most fertile place at the time of the forefathers in the Middle East, which afterwards became the most desolate place. But at that time, further down, then was the Sinai Desert. So that's where the Torah was given, and was given in a world which demonstrates Chorev. Now, we know everything in the Torah has significance for the future. And so we think, well, it's past history. It's not only past history. It's future premonition of what might happen to this globe. The globe will be very fertile if we follow the ways of Hashem. And if we don't, the whole globe will become like the Sinai Desert. And that's what's hinted at here. But the sages say, why was it called Chorev? Because if mankind will not accept the Torah, then the earth will go back to a Churban. And if no one accepts, the other nations don't, and the people of Israel also don't accept, then Hashem will return the whole globe to Tohu Vavohu. That's hinted at in this first phrase, the Ha'elokim Choreva. And the truth is, the sages say that until today, Bat Kol Yotzes Me'HaChorev, there is a heavenly echo that goes out from the mountain of Chorev, which says, woe to mankind, Oy Labriot, Me'el Bono Shel Torah, that they disregard the Torah. This is Pirkei Avot. So I think this is the key to what's happening today. Today we see in front of us the two possibilities for the future of the human race. It's very critical. There are groups that are only preparing for destruction of this planet. Actually, there are two threats. One is the ecological threat, that mankind only wants through its greed to overuse every part of productivity on this earth to have instant gratification, to enjoy this, the fruit of this world as soon as possible, where there's a battle between the haves and the have-nots. So some of them, indeed, their whole life is just destruction and poverty, like in the desert. and the others are rich, and they use and abuse the weaker elements of mankind. And then we have others who are just motivated by hate, by jealousy, destructivity. But we can also go in the other direction of recognizing the deeper message of Choreb. So this is just the first phrase here. Why this is introduced in such a manner? It is the mountain of God. And the Midrashim say like this, that before the Torah was given, then a section of the Har Moriah, some of its earth, it, through some types of bit of earthquakes and bit of interruptions, it landed on Har Sinai. So that some of the Kedusha, which potential on the Har Moriah, and the Kedusha goes back to the origin of mankind, it's the place where Adam HaRishon was created, in fact, the sages say, it's created from the earth on Har Moriah. It was the place where Hashem had his Shekhinah, the higher level of life, where man became from a kotnot or, as we described in the previous shiur, cloaks of light was transformed then after into cloaks of skin and flesh. That's also where Adam HaRishon brought his offering. And the same is with Noah, the same Avraham Avinu, same with Hashem, son of Noah. So, it's a very deep concept that a bit of the earth, which is holy, was transformed to the desert. Why in the desert? It was no man's land. Therefore, it was every man's land. It was open to all mankind. Of course, it potentially, who accepted the people of Israel, and all the Geirei Tzedek of all generations also accepted it. When it says the nations didn't accept it, there were exceptions. There were those, the famous episode of Graf Potocki, who was a Geir Tzedek, who belonged to the hierarchy of the Russian Orthodox Church, and their police chased him and tried to get hold of him. He became a disciple of the governor of Vilna, and they got hold of him, and he was given the option: either you come back to the church, go back to your roots, accept your role in developing Christianity, and if not, we'll burn you in public at the stake. And he said to the people who tried to persuade him, he said, I'm going back to my roots, because I stood at the foot of Mount Sinai and accepted the Torah, my soul, that's my soul, those are my true roots. And one of the people who tried to bring him back to Christianity was a Jewish missionary. So he said to him, and you obviously stood at the foot of Mount Sinai if you're going to stay with the Christians. And when all the people said, we're Nase v'nishma, for you it was just lip service. You didn't, maybe you joined in, but you didn't mean it. That's why, unless you change. If you'll change, you can change also your participation. As it says in the Chumash, it says the covenant of Hashem was made with all generations. So that's the concept of why it says that some of the earth was transferred. If you can take it maybe literally, you can take it as a deeper teaching, that the Kedusha was transferred from Hashem, from Har Moriah to Har Sinai. And there are other aspects of this, which are quite important, so we'll soon see. That's why it's called Har Choreb. So, then, what did he see? Next verse. It says, Vayera, and then, angel of God appeared to him in the heart of the fire, mitoch hasne. It's not mitoch sne, mitoch hasne. From the midst It's mistranslated thorn bush. It's from the thorn bush. We saw the thorn bush was burning the fire, and thorn bush was not being consumed. Now, what is this thorn bush? It's hasne. So, I'll show you here a picture, and I'll show you a picture of the stones of the mountain of Sinai. Show it in front of the camera. The camera can see this. Is there any... By the way, I want to mention, by the way, I've had no feedback for months for any of these shiurim. So I would like to give the email of the yeshiva, and I'll be very grateful to receive some feedback. But since we used to have feedback by speech for people who listen to the shiur, but that's not working, the dragon procedure. But if you want to give any feedback by email, be very grateful. The email of the Yeshiva Tzvi Yerushalayim is dvar@dvar.org.il. So, in fact, a few years ago I had these stones myself. This is a fossil that goes all the way through the stones of the mountain of Sinai, which is described already by many early travelers being something quite unique. And it's a fossil goes all the way through. So they're really and what is on it? A bush, a special bush. And some say, why was the Sinai given that name, Sinai? Because of the snare. The bushes were there before. So, the most likely interpretation is that when Hashem reveals His will, the mountain was like a state of a most terrible earthquake, as is described in the Chumash. Before the revelation of the words of Hashem came, it said the whole mountain was shaking. It was like an earthquake. And there was probably also a lot of lava. And they said before the Torah was given, it was filled with vegetation. That's also implied in the account of the giving of the Torah when it says that the animals not graze on the mountain. So in other words, it was filled with a lot of vegetation. And then, through the giving of the Torah, it was transformed into fossils. I remember when I was at school, I had to go to a non-Jewish school, and the Jewish school around, where I was in wartime. So people said, well, you know, the fossils prove that the earth is, millions of years old, geological strata. Even today, they sometimes still quote it. Yeah. At the same time, I was taught, and I studied it as well. They said, what's the origin of fossils? It's that the pressures over the years of the environment transform trees into just implants into a rocky geological strata. And so you can see from fossils, you'll see what's there before. I mean, what's coal? In coal also, when I was a youngster, we used to have coal fires. So in coals, you could see fossils. How did the fossils come in the coal? They said, well, it happens after millions of years. The trees and plants turn into fossils in the coal, where there's a strata of coal in the earth. And I learned a bit more, that when there's a volcanic eruption, there's lava, in 1 minute, all the vegetation on that mountain that's producing all the lava, it's so hot also, that immediately the vegetation is transformed into fossils. See, in Sodom and Amorah, where according to the scripture, it was sulfur. And so that, what did that do? It transformed. It's very strong sulfur, contract burns, and it transforms all the vegetation into ashes, into sand even, after a time. Because that's the sand of Sodom and Amorah. That's why it contains so many minerals. The minerals come from the enormous amount of vegetation, which through the Gophret was transformed. But if there was a volcanic eruption, then in a few minutes, you can produce coal. Most other scientists will say, well, we can say it's millions of years. It's no proof at all. In any case, the fossil of Sinai is famous. It's quite unique. And that's how people throughout the ages identified which is the mountain of Sinai. Even today, where they think that's the mountain of Sinai, and we have the monastery, it proves that that is the mountain of Sinai. And it's so interesting, and this whole procedure, I've got their whole list of all those travelers, Jewish and non-Jewish, who witnessed it already 1,000 years ago, more. There's also other aspects. I want to connect you with another verse here. It's very interesting. You know, the Ramah on the Shulchan Aruch, Moshe Isselis, who in the Shulchan Aruch adds the Ashkenazi views. So he wrote also a fantastic work on the reasons of the mitzvot. It brings many interesting things. So he said like this, I'm jumping a bit now in this description of the snare. It's almost called hasnare, so it has significance. And we see here that Hashem persuades Moshe to fulfill his mission. I turn to verse 12. So Hashem says to him, when Moshe says to Hashem, verse 11, he says, who am I? How can I go to Pharaoh? I can hardly speak. I'm not that personality. How can I be a leader? I'll speak to Pharaoh. Pharaoh wanted to kill me a time ago. Yeah, maybe even now he wants to kill me. I've got an execution decree on my head. How can I go to him? And I'm not one to know how to be a diplomat. And you expect me, I will take the Bnei Israel from Egypt. They won't listen to me either. I haven't lived with them properly. So why do you expect me to be able to do it? In verse 12, Hashem says, you should know, because I will be with you. In other words, you do not look at yourself as you are the leader and you're the spokesman, because I'm asking you to become my channel to the world of human beings. So therefore, you're precisely the type of person I need. Because a person who thinks his personality is important and he is achieving, it's an obstacle. And I'm going to choose specially someone who can't speak, who can't be a leader, who can't be a lawgiver, who can't know all the things that I'm going to reveal to you, so that people will see from you, it's not you, it's Hashem, it's me. Because I will be with you. Then this is the sign that I have sent you. When you go out from Egypt, then you're going to serve God on this mountain. So what does it mean? This will be the sign. How is it? What does it mean? It's a sign. When you take these people out, they're going to serve on this mountain. Usual explanation is that the giving of the Torah itself, that means a revelation from Hashem to approximately 3 million people. And Moshe was the agent when it was too difficult for the people to fulfill their service on the mountain. That means they couldn't listen to all the commandments. Only the first two, they heard the voice of Hashem, but they couldn't. They said, we're dying. For them it was a near-death experience. So they said, well, we're going to leave our bodies. Because some, they left their bodies in the middle of the commandments. They only came back when Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the message to them. That's how some explain. I'll give you here Rav Hirsch's interpretation. God replied, those traits in your view make you unsuited. This task are the very ones that make you best qualified to carry it out, because you sense through and through that you lack even the slightest aptitude to venture upon, let alone accomplish such a mission by your own human powers. Precisely for this reason, you are the one who is best suited to carry out my mission. I need someone who is the wisest and at the same time the humblest of all men. Your marked inadequacy will stamp the work I intend to accomplish through you with a sign for all times to come that what you achieved could have been achieved only at my command and by my power. Your very inadequacy will attest to the divine character of your mission. Without this proof, Israel's deliverance would be regarded as no different than other events in world history that glorify the power of men. I do not seek to establish a human dynasty through you, with you at the head. When the deliverance will have been accomplished, you will not be the ruler of the people. You also, Ta'abdun, you as well as the people, are to come to this mountain as servants of God. You and the people are to enter God's service on this mountain. Only if a man like you, who will be allowed, will be positive to fulfill the purpose of the deliverance. Only then will I be able to say that I am Hashem your God who took you out from the land of Egypt. For then you and the people will stand before me together, all on the same level as my servants. You just like the people, you're also my servant. And Ta'avdune, Ta'elokim, the manifestation of God that appeared to you here, and that is sending you from this place to deliver the people, will appear again at this mountain, or precisely upon this same mountain, to all of you, completing the winning over of the people to my service. And also you know that Ta'avdune, Ta'elokim, when did it happen? On Shavuot. And Shavuot was the day when Moshe Rabbeinu was saved from the Nile and was given the name Moshe. That as he was pulled out of the waters that drowned the babies of the people of Israel, he would, on the same day, 81 years later, he would be the one who would be able to pull mankind out from the waters of destruction. So that's the significant Ta'avdune. In fact, they say, why is the Nun there? Because Motziachai, when were the people taken out from Egypt, on which date? What was the date of Exodus from Egypt?
15th of Nisan.
And how many days later did they stand at the foot of Mount Sinai and receive the Torah? How many days later?
50.
That's why Ta'avdu means you will serve. Why is there a Nun? Because Nun is 50. 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt, then you will learn to serve Hashem. Instead of being slaves in Egypt, you'll be servants of Hashem. on this mountain. Moshe, like the people, they'll all serve Hashem. Now, what does the Ramo say? The Ramo says, what does it mean this is the sign? He says, the image of the snare, the bush, is an eternal sign that this is the place where the Torah is given. He said, it's a real sign. The sign is the fossil of the stone, the snare. Because really, what does the snare represent? Rashi says, what's the lowly bush? It's a lowly bush. Then what's the fire? The fire is the place from which Hashem speaks. The Shekhinah rests upon the lowest bush. The divine presence can come down on the lowest mountain in the area. It's not a very high mountain. It can come down upon the person who's the humblest of all men. Apnei Adama. It's his humility. Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole conversation. And Rashi says, the essence of, even of what comes up afterwards, I am the Ta'am, which I'm not going into now, but it's a deep message. The major aspect of that message, according to one midrash, according to many midrashim, and Rashi's interpretation, Imo anochi v'tzara, I am with the people of Israel when they are low. I am with Moshe Rabbeinu when he's humble. And that's one of the purposes of the whole people of Israel starting in enslavement. Why does Hashem start us in an alien country with enslavement? It says constantly the Chumash, there's a simple reason. It says all the time, you've got to love the stranger, you've got to help others, because you were strange in the land of Egypt. And even it says by you've got to observe Shabbos, because you've got to remember you were also a slave in Egypt. In other words, all the mitzvot are there that we shouldn't become proud, we shouldn't become egoists, we've got to know that we're all in the hand of Hashem. And this root experience of Mitzrayim was given to Israel, that we should always concern ourselves with the have-nots and with the poor and the humble. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's what he did. And this is the basic principle of the Torah. And that's the concept of snare. That's why some say, well, if you've got to be humble, why didn't Hashem reveal his will from a valley? It says because person should not think that he should lose his self-esteem. Person's got to know what he's here for. Moshe Rabbeinu just felt, I'm not suitable. When Hashem started working on him, he had to fulfill it. And similarly also everybody, like we described in the previous share, a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, a tzaddik does not mean that a person says to himself, I'm useless, can't do anything. Because Moshe all the time, he was one who did everything he could. We saw people in trouble, he went to help them. Because that was his main motivation in life, to help others, thereby come nearer to Hashem. But whatever he possessed, he says, it's a gift from Hashem. So this is the concept of Hasneh, which is shown in a pictorial fashion in the fossil. So let's hope that all of us will absorb this week's parsha. It's such a deep parsha, and this the revelation which is given on Har Sinai. So when as it finished, the mountain became an ordinary mountain, except for this remnant that's left there, and because the nation of the world on the whole didn't accept it. So the people of Israel, even we, to some extent, did not fulfill it sufficiently. So we had to go for wandering 8 years in the desert till we could build up our nation and build the Beit HaMikdash. It took even longer. But the very important lesson here is that we should all of us recognize that we've got a mission to fulfill in the world, and one of the basic principles is our mission must be to look after the poor. And if we look today at Medinat Israel, in amongst all the Western states, we regard Israel as also attempting to be like one of the Western enlightened states, that they should look after the poor. And we have now enormous poverty rates amongst children. This is something which we have to put right, everybody as far as he can, to help others. So let's hope we'll take this message, and this will, it says that Yerushalayim will be redeemed through tzedakah, through the approach to life of one of being the fulfilling the derech Hashem, lasot tzedakah mishpat, to fulfill constantly charity and justice. Amen.
Amen.
Did Rav Zitzel come? Did you know?
Yes.
Oh, so he's probably waiting. But you can carry on his shiur as long as you can. Yeah. I didn't expect people to come today. Let's see what this is. And is Chaim Siegel here also? Maybe not.
That's worse.